listening to the Daily Gold Podcast, covering precious metals, the junior mining sector, and global capital markets for intelligent investors. Now, here is your host, Jordan Roy Byrne.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to another live edition of the Daily Gold Podcast. I'm here with Mickey Fulp right now, and we're at the Vancouver Cambridge House Conference, the International Metals Writers Conference, I believe that it's named. Mickey, how are you doing today, and what exactly are we going to do for this interview?
Well, I'm doing well. It's a busy conference. You're speaking, I'm speaking, we've got meetings, good, nice crowd here, but we're going to do something different today. We're going to do a 180. I'm going to interview you because we had a discussion last night at dinner and you had some interesting ideas on the gold market. And generally what I find is people talk their own book and they are reluctant to take bearish views sometime, and you tell it like it is, so tell it like it is.
Right, well, at least how I see it. Oh, thank you, Mickey. I don't like the way the market is just set up here technically, not just gold, but if you look at commodities as a whole. I know that some individual commodities are faring better than others, but if you look at commodities as a whole, the CRB and an equal-weighted CRB, they're both breaking down. They look like they could go back and retest the lows that we had in early 2016. And with respect to gold, I see the same thing in gold. I mean, gold, it hasn't broken down yet, but if you look at, for example, here's another thing with respect to commodities, the dollar weakness. We had the dollar at its low a couple days ago. It touched a seven-month low. Yet if you look at the CRB, you look at gold, you look at silver, there's just not the type of strength that you would see in a real bull market there. And also with respect to the mining stocks, specifically the gold stocks, they've been lagging gold badly for the last couple months. So put all these factors together. And then on the fundamental side, I mean, I believe that the biggest driver for gold is negative real interest rates or falling real interest rates. And if you look at that picture right now, the inflation side of that, it looks like inflation's probably peaked for the year. And if you look at interest rates, the Fed is still hiking. They're probably going to hike next month. And my view, I mean, once we get through if I'm right and we see weakness for the rest of the year, once we get through that, I'm much more optimistic over the next couple of years. But I think the next really sustainable low in this sector, specifically gold, will be whenever you think the Fed's last rate hike will be. If you think the last rate hike is coming in June, then you're more optimistic than me. I just have a feeling they're going to be able to hike after that another time, maybe even two more times. And looking out several years when we get into the next cycle, that's when we'll have normalized rate hikes and normalized interest rates, but inflation will be going up faster. So, and if you look back, I mean, you probably remember better than I, the 1999 to 2001 period, we had a double bottom in commodities. And I was looking at interest rates. I know I'm droning on here, but I was looking at interest rates, and there was a similarity where they started to hike again in 1999 or late 99, and commodities went up. And then when they stopped hiking, that's when they stopped hiking a year or two later. That's when everything took off again. So I see a lot of similarities to that period. I know that was a real mouthful, but that's how I see it.
Well,
right
at least
now.
A couple other questions. So you're very bearish, I would say, in the short term for gold. Let's just talk about the price of gold right now. So last week, an interesting thing happened that made some short-term prognosticators think a bullish signal for gold, and that was gold crossed the 50-day moving average, crossed the 200-day moving average. They indicated that was a very bullish sign for the near term, and so that would be my question. How have you looked at that? Do you factor in that? I know you're mainly a technical analyst, and so the technical analysts really like that scenario for short-term raise in gold prices.
Right. This is something I covered in my weekend update. The last times we had that signal, in 2012 and in 2014. And when we had that signal, it was a perfect time we had, you know, what you could call an interim peak in the gold price. So we had a bullish signal. We had interim peaks in 2012, 2014. We had the signal in early 2016, but when it happened, gold was already at 1,300, so it didn't rally that much more. Where we are here, moving average crosses are, they're kind of a lagging indicator. They're not really a leading indicator. I should say a confirming indicator. Now, if I'm wrong and gold's going to break above 1,300 and keep running up, then clearly the moving average, I mean, that's confirming that we're in an uptrend. However, with respect to moving average crosses and where we are right now, the one problem with that is the slope of the 200-day moving average is actually going down a little bit. So that, you can look at the slope.
That's contributing to that, that cross and
divergence. Right, and you can look at the slope of moving averages as kind of a trend indicator. And so if we had this moving average cross and the 200-day was sloping up, then I would say, okay, that this is a real bullish signal. I think it could play out like we had in 2012 and 2014, where it unfortunately it marked an interim peak in the price and not a time where it would start moving up aggressively.
Okay, so generally, the seasonality of gold will demand that it goes down beginning by mid-June with the so-called summer doldrums. And as you're aware, that's common occurrence. Did not happen last year. We had the highs during the summer doldrums, yearly highs for gold, but that's quite unusual. So I would see, personally, weakness from a fundamental sort of view in gold just with the seasonality, and that's generally the time that I start picking away at some gold bullion. And sometime in that interim low that will happen generally in July or August, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes toward the back end of that, but we almost always see that. So that would lend credence to this idea you have for short-term bearishness. Regarding the Fed rate hike, I expect it in June. I expect that not to be the last one, so you're looking at that as being bearish for gold. The other thing that you made a point of is, and this would be my real concern too, is the dollar weakness. Dollar's down, 6% from its high post-Trump election at 103, and it's basically hanging around 97 right now. And you're right, we haven't seen the bump in any metals that would be commensurate with that sort of dollar weakness. Why is that? Is it just there is no fundamental demand for gold, or is it the speculators? I mean, you know and I know that there's a lot more gold traded in the paper market in London every day than basically gold that exists on the planet in a year, right? So it's...
I would take the fundamental view and say I'm looking at real, like I talked about this in my talk, but in the last several months, real interest rates have been going up. And it's, of course, that doesn't explain what will happen in the next couple months. But as I noted before, I think inflation's peaked for the year, and you, like I believe, there's at least going to be a couple more hikes. So interest rates are at least going to be stable. Maybe they'll rise a little bit before they go lower. And so I think that... and another thing to look at, I look at GLD as a proxy for investment demand. I mean, how much gold is being added or taken away? And since the Trump election, I mean, we've seen it's a big difference from last year. Last year we saw tons of buying in the via the GLD. We've seen very little. And so I would explain that as fundamentally the market sees that real interest rates are rising and they could continue to rise. And perhaps that explains why, with respect to precious metals, we haven't quite seen as much strength as we normally expect with respect against the dollar weakness.
So what's this mean for speculators in gold stocks? Or explorers, developers, mid-tiers, majors, etc.? You know, generally the time to buy is in down markets. So what are you doing? What are you looking at right now?
Great question. First thing I'll point out is, as you probably know, exploration stocks have been holding up much better than everything else. I mean, I in my update, I had a list of 11, or I made a little index of 11 junior producers, and it's trading near a 52-week low. I mean, if you look at stocks like Klondike, Guyana Goldfields, Teranga Gold, I mean, these charts of the junior producers are not healthy. These charts are arguing that gold prices are going to come down. And also, the optionality plays look similar. They've been selling off huge since last year. And so that bodes poorly for the gold price. However, to get back to exploration, I mean, there's a number of exploration stocks, as you know, that even since the peak in gold last year that have been doing well. I mean, there's some that have been making 52-week highs. So, I mean, I'm definitely seeing a lot of value there. And I think that, you know, what I'm hoping for, not that I'm hoping that everything's going to go down, but I've been thinking slash hoping that maybe over the next 4 to 6 weeks, we get a fairly big sell-off in the stocks. And we kind of make a low after the rate hike. And then so it would make sense that we kind of get a late summer bounce. I mean, seasonality, you talked about it before. I'm not a huge seasonality guy, but I have noticed that it seems like that gold, whether it's strong or weak, it does tend to make a low. If it's strong, the low might be in June with like a slightly higher low in July. If the market's weak, the low kind of comes in July, could be late July. So it jives with seasonality, but I could see a low. I could see a low in mid to late July, and then a rally into early September. September's been real nasty the last 5 or 6. You know, Mickey, we talk about the curse of PDAC. How about the curse of Beaver Creek? I mean, it seems like there's more of a curse around that. But to get back to your question, I'm just with respect to the juniors. I'm just looking for and hoping that we get really good entry points in July.
Well, that's what we all want.
If we get a really good entry point there, I'm not going to worry that much about metals price, as you know. I mean, if we can get a really good entry point and something you really like fundamentally, and you get that good entry point, you take that, you can hold on to it because you'll probably get a nice bounce. And so that's something I've been looking at this year. I've been saying, you know, don't chase strength, just buy weakness, you know,
absolutely,
accumulate weakness.
Yeah,
you know, when the market's taking off and it looks like gold's going to break above 1,400, that's the time when you can play the momentum names. But right now, you're going to get killed doing that. You have to be a contrarian now, as you know.
Right. All right, Jordan. Thanks for your time. It's a pleasure to interview for the first time.
Well, thank you so much, Mickey, and I look forward to interviewing you, returning the favor again very soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jordan.
Thank you for tuning into the Daily Gold Podcast. For more interviews, editorials, and analysis, log on to thedailygold.com. And for premium coverage of precious metals and the best junior mining companies, visit thedailygold.com/premium.